George Burns and Gracie Allen. With yours truly, Bill Goodwin, and the music of Meredith Wilson and his orchestra. Here's Meredith Wilson with his chiffon arrangement of If I Loved You. Burns' home today, we find George and Gracie discussing the problems of their next-door neighbor, Meredith Wilson.
So, Meredith is going to drop over, George. He has a date tonight, and I want you to give him some advice about women.
What? Again? Why doesn't his father have a talk with him?
His father is even shyer with women than Meredith.
Oh, so he got a shyness from his father.
Yes, and it not only affected Meredith, but his 10 brothers and 14 sisters.
Well, I don't think I'm the one to advise him about women.
Oh, I bet you know plenty about women, George Burns. I wouldn't be surprised if you used to be quite a ladies' man.
Me? Oh, a little, maybe.
You handsome rascal. I'll bet you were plenty of competition for Francis X. Bushman.
Yeah, took plenty of dames away from George Ollis, too.
Well, don't tell me you don't know anything about women. I knew the first time I kissed you that you'd been kissed before. You were dynamite.
Really?
Sure. You kissed almost as good as I did.
Thanks.
So you will have a talk with Meredith?
Well, I guess it is sort of selfish of me to keep all my vast knowledge about women to myself. They didn't used to call me Volcano Lips for nothing.
Why, you've forgotten more about love than most men ever knew.
Yeah, I guess I have.
I wish you could remember a little of it.
I'll try.
Oh, this must be Meredith. Come in.
Well, howdy, folks.
Hello, Meredith.
Gracie tells me you have a date tonight, Meredith.
I surely have. Her name is Peggy, and I'm awful anxious to make a good impression, so I thought I'd like to get some advice from the old master himself.
Well, you've come to the right place.
Yeah, I know Bill Goodwin usually drops in.
Meredith, it's possible that I can tell you some things about women.
Oh, well, thanks, George, but you probably just heard the same rumors I have.
Well, listen, Meredith. No amount of talking about women is going to take the place of experience. You ought to get out and rub elbows with them.
Is that fun?
It's keen.
Come in.
Hi, folks.
Oh, hello, Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Hello, Master.
Hi, Meredith.
Say, Bill, I've got a date with a girl tonight, and I wish you'd please give me some
now,
advice.
Now, some other time, please, Meredith. I've got a big problem of my own right now.
But, Bill, I've...
Meredith, I'm sorry. I've got something on my mind right now beside women.
See him later, Meredith, when he's thinking normally again.
Well, okay, I'll drop back then.
What's up, Bill?
Yes, it must be pretty important if you refuse to talk about women.
Gracie, I don't think only about women. I think of my career, too. And that's what this is about. I want fame and success and lots of money.
Well, of course you do.
Sure. Look at the women I'll be able to get.
Bill, suppose you tell us what this is all about.
Well, George, there's a part open at my studio that I'm dying to get. It's in a picture called Love in a Cottage. And who do you think I'd be playing opposite? Ingrid Bergman.
Really?
Yeah. Can you imagine Ingrid Bergman and me playing opposite each other? What an opportunity. What a chance to become the biggest picture name in the country.
Well, sure.
And of course, it'll help me, too.
He's murder, isn't he?
Well, Bill, what's the matter? Can't you get the part?
Well, I don't know, Gracie. You see, the producer, Mr. Sherwood, is one of these guys who believes in realism. The part is a married man, and he feels only a married man could play it.
Well, there's only one answer, Bill. Get married.
Well, sure, I'll pick out one of the girls you're engaged to and surprise her.
No, I thought of a better way, Gracie. I told the producer that I was married, that I already have a wife.
What?
Well, yeah, I've even invited him to dinner tonight, so now I gotta produce a wife. You don't know where I could borrow one, do you?
Well, no, I'm afraid I... come in.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Burns. Here's your mail.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Postman.
Did I interrupt a family conference?
Oh, no, no. We're trying to help Mr. Goodwin. He wants to borrow somebody's wife.
Oh, but Mr. Goodwin's is sort of a wolf. If he borrowed a wife, he might keep her.
No, no, I wouldn't.
Darn it, I was going to lend you mine.
No, no thanks, Mr. Postman.
Not even if I threw in a week's salary?
No.
My government pension?
Nope.
No matter what shape she's returned in, I won't ask for a refund.
No, we'd better forget it.
I don't understand you, Mr. Postman. If you're that anxious to get rid of your wife, why did you ever marry her?
Oh, I was young, and it was spring. The hollyhocks were blooming, and the chickadees were singing.
I see.
Since then, I've been arrested a dozen times for pulling up hollyhocks and throwing them at chickadees.
Well, Mr. Postman, I'd like to oblige, but you know how it is.
Yes, I know. I'm stuck with my mail bag and that female, too. Well, goodbye. Remember, keep smiling.
Well, Bill, I guess you'll have to look somewhere else for a wife.
Well, I was sort of hoping that you'd play the part, Gracie.
Me?
Well, yes, we could invite the producer here for dinner.
I don't think much of the idea.
Oh, neither do I, Bill. Oh, you better forget it.
Okay, Gracie, I just picked you because I wanted the producer to think my wife was as charming as Ingrid Bergman. Well, I'll be running along.
As charming as Ingrid Bergman?
Oh, yes. And just as beautiful. Well, I'll be running along.
I'm as beautiful as she?
Oh, sure. And even more talented. Well, I'll be running along.
More talented than Ingrid Bergman, me?
Well, easily. Well, I'll be...
Oh, sit down, Bill. What's your hurry?
Then you'll do it?
Well, yes. You can call a producer and invite him here for dinner.
I already did. Well, I'll run home and get dressed. See you later, wifey dear.
is Meredith Wilson and his chiffon arrangement of that top tune, Till the End of Time.
Bill, flatter you into it. Imagine going for that line of boy.
Well, I...
Anyone who falls for flattery is a dope. Besides, what'll I do while Bill is your husband? Hide in the attic?
Well, no. You can be our butler.
Butler? Nothing doing.
Oh, all right, dear. I just wanted to show Bill that you're a finer actor than Charles Lawton. That's all, but forget it.
Me? Finer than Lawton?
Oh, yes, and much more convincing. But that's all right, forget it.
More convincing? I am?
Well, of course. No one could play an English butler like you could, but forget it.
Don't try to talk me out of this part. Blimey, Governor, the bloomin' dinner is safe. Shall I pass the tomatoes?
Oh, then you'll do it?
Quite, old bean. Frightfully amusing and all that sort of rot.
Oh, you're cute. Now, Bill, if you hope to convince this movie producer that you're married, you better have some lessons in how to act like a husband.
Oh, Gracie, I don't need any lessons.
Well, I better try you out. Now, I'm your wife, and I say, do you love me, darling?
Yes. Yes, my beautiful queen. I love you deeply, devotedly, tenderly, passionately, and I shall always love you.
You're the singlest man I ever saw. Now, I'll show you how a husband answers that question. George is in the den reading the paper. George?
Huh?
Do you love me, darling?
Uh-huh. Close the door.
Well, see what I mean?
Gee, the little man's a ball of fire, isn't he? Are all husbands like that?
Oh, no, not right away. The first year, they sit across the breakfast table and tell you how beautiful you are. That lasts until the first anniversary.
Oh, I see.
I think that's why they call it the paper anniversary. From then on, they'd rather read the paper.
Say, what time is the producer coming to dinner?
Well, Mr. Sherwood will be here at 7:30, George, which means you'd better hurry and teach Bill how to act like a husband.
Well, it's very simple, Bill. Now, go outside and coming like you're a husband coming to dinner.
Okay. Darling.
Dearest.
Here's a big hug and kiss from your loving husband.
We better run through that again.
Here's a big hug and kiss from your loving husband.
Once more.
Gracie, I don't like this.
How do you know? You never tried it.
Never mind. Get on with the scene. And, Bill, try to remember that you're a tired, hungry husband coming home after a hard day's work. Don't be so agreeable.
Oh, okay. What do we got for dinner, wife?
Oh, we're having the most wonderful dinner, dear. First, there's caviar.
Now you're working.
Then, turtle soup. Then pheasant under glass. Then crepe Suzette.
Okay, that's enough rehearsal.
Come in.
I've been waiting in a little old car for an hour now, Dimples, honey. Dimples, honey?
Well, that's me. I'm sorry, baby. Folks, I'd like you to meet the one and only girl, the girl I really love, Miss, what's your name again, kid?
Cynthia Lou Culpepper.
Oh, that's right. Glad to meet you, Cynthia Lou.
Oh, the pleasure's mine, sir. I've always wanted to meet Bill's father. And this charming lady must be Bill's sister. Oh, no, I'm his wife.
His wife?
Well, just temporarily. You see, I was George's wife until Bill came in. And now I'm Bill's wife this evening. But tomorrow I'll be George's wife again, and Ingrid Bergman will be Bill's wife. But when they finish Love in the Cottage, maybe you'll be his wife. Just remember, this is Hollywood.
Well, it certainly is living up to its reputation. I'll see you later, Mr. Dimples Goodwin.
Wait, Cynthia Lou.
And hand me you Yankee.
Holy smoke, now I am in trouble. What a mess.
Oh, gee, I'm glad you're still here, Bill. Will you give me some advice now, will you, Bill? Huh? Please,
now,
Bill,
later,
will you,
Meredith.
Huh, Bill, please?
Later, Meredith, later. I'm busy.
Bill, just tell me the first thing I should say to Peggy tonight.
Oh, go jump in the lake.
Gee, why couldn't I have thought of that?
Better hurry up and get dressed, Gracie. That producer will be here any minute.
Well, yes, dear. Give me a hand with this girdle, will you, dear? It's so tight.
Okay.
Oh, one more pull. There. Oh, darling, it makes you look wonderful.
Well, I knew it was the only way I'd ever get those tuxedo pants to fit me. Haven't worn them for 10 years.
Oh, how about it? Can you get them fastened?
Nope. They don't quite reach.
Well, here, I'll help you. Pull in your tummy.
Okay.
No, pull in your chest.
Okay.
No, pull in your tummy.
Okay.
No.
Why don't you make up your mind?
Well, I can't tell which is which.
I should never have agreed to do this. I'm worried about the part of the butler.
Yeah, me too. The part that won't fit into these pants. Now, take a deep breath there. Let's try it again. There, I got it. But for heaven's sakes, George, whatever you do, don't bend over.
Don't worry.
Oh, dear, that may be Mr. Sherwood already. Slip on your coat.
But what do we do? Bill isn't back yet.
Oh, that's perfectly all.
How do you do? I'm Lawrence Sherwood, the movie producer.
Oh, how do you do? Come right in, Mr. Sherwood. I'm Mrs. Goodwin. Burns, take Mr. Sherwood's hat.
Yes, madam.
Oh, how clumsy of me. I dropped it.
I'll pick it up. Uh-oh.
Oh, you ripped your pants, sweetheart.
Did you call the butler sweetheart?
Oh, I meant Burns. Excuse me, Mr. Sherwood. I'll have to take him in and put some different pants on him.
I wonder if Bill knows about this. Well, that was a delightful dinner, Mrs. Goodwin.
Mrs. Oh, yes. Well, thank you. You may clear the table, Burns.
Very good, madam.
Hubby, dear, take Mr. Sherwood into the living room, and I'll have Vern serve the coffee in there.
All right, lovey dove.
Ah, it's a charming place you have.
Well, Judge, the dinner went off without a hitch. Now, bring in the coffee and some brandy, too, into the living room.
Now, wait a minute. I've only got one bottle of brandy, and I've been saving it for 10 years.
Bring it in, dear.
But we never save brandy after dinner.
Maybe you Burnses don't, but we good ones know how to live.
Well, I'm not going to let those two guys drink up my precious brandy.
But look what's at stake, dear. A pot opposite Ingrid Bergman. And just think of her, George. Beautiful, luscious, divine Ingrid Bergman. Now, how about the brandy?
Bergman can have a drink, but not those two guys.
George, have I ever forced you to do anything against your will?
Yes.
Well, I'm still at it. Bring in the brandy.
Yes, and I'm really settled down. Yes, sir, Mr. Sherwood, there's nothing like being a family man.
Oh, you're right, Bill. And if I may say so, you've a mighty pretty young wife.
Well, of course you may say so, Mr. Sherwood. After all, you're a guest.
Thank you.
But I'm not really as young as I look. I'm way over 20.
Really?
Oh, yes. Weeks and weeks. Oh, Burns, we're waiting.
The brandy, madam.
Well, don't just stand there, Burns. Offer some to Mr. Sherwood.
Yes, madam. You wouldn't want any of this brandy, would you, Mr. Sherwood?
Why, I wouldn't mind a little.
I wouldn't take too much. It's lousy.
Why, Burns, you let Mr. Sherwood have some of that brandy.
Certainly, and take all you want, Mr. Sherwood. There's nothing cheap about us Goodwins. Hand Mr. Sherwood the bottle, Burns.
Yes, sir. Very good, sir.
Well, don't you want any, sweetheart?
Certainly I do, but he'll drink up all the brandy.
I was talking to my husband.
Oh, beg pardon, madam.
Don't you want any, sweetheart?
Well, I'll have a drop or so, lover. When Mr. Sherwood has had his, I'll finish the bottle.
What?
Burns, bring us a box of cigars.
Cigars?
Yes, they're in the sideboard in the dining room, the second floor.
I know where they are.
Rather odd sort of fellow, that butler.
Well, yes, isn't he, though?
I notice you and he keep referring to each other as sweetheart.
Oh, that. Oh, well, you know what you have to do to keep health these days.
Now, Mr. Sherwood, about that picture, Love in a Cottage.
Oh, yes, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, Bill, when you told me that you were married and settled down, I didn't believe it. You see, I had heard that you were a wolf.
A wolf? Lover, what's a wolf?
Oh, he's so innocent. A wolf, Billy boy, is a man who stands on street corners and whistles at girls.
What for?
Well, darling, so they'll get in his car and he can hug them and kiss them.
Oh. Oh, any man who'd do that should be run out of Hollywood.
Well, it would be a pretty dull place with just women.
Yes, yes. Yes, you wouldn't want to be the only man left among thousands of women.
Oh, no, no, of course I would. I have never looked at any woman except my dear, sweet wife.
Come in.
Bill, you just got to give me that advice. It's getting late.
Oh, not now, Meredith. We have a guest.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry to interrupt, sir, but I need Bill's help. You see, he's got so many girls.
Girls, Bill?
Didn't Bill tell you about our girls?
Oh, no, darn it. It slipped my mind.
Well, well, how many have you got?
Two.
Four.
How many?
Four.
Two.
Well, just don't let him kid you. Now, Bill's got a whole lot more than that.
Really? And how old are they?
Well, most of them are around 18.
18? Mrs. Goodwin, you just said that you were barely over 20. How could you have daughters 18?
Well, once we got married, we decided not to wait.
Yeah.
Say, I don't exactly know what's going on here, but I just came to get some advice from the biggest wolf in Hollywood.
And just who is that?
Cigars?
There he stands. Burns, the home wrecker.
Huh?
Mr. Wilson wants some advice from you, Burns. But take him out of here, you lady killer. I don't want my husband to hear that kind of talk.
But you...
Quickly, Burns. Take him out. I don't want my ears soiled.
Okay.
That butler is such a wolf.
Yeah. So now you understand what Mr. Wilson was talking about.
All but one thing. Those grown dogs.
Well, they're not really grown. One's two and the other's three.
But Mr. Wilson said there were 18.
Oh, well, they're a little large for their age.
Where are they now? I'd like to see them.
Well, we have them in boarding school.
Yes, yes. We feel that every child should learn how to board.
Yeah.
Well, two children. You really are settled down, aren't you, Bill?
Oh, you bet, Mr. Sherwood. Now, about that picture, Love in a Cottage.
Oh, yes, I'm glad you mentioned it. Now that I see you're really happily married, I think that...
Come in. Now, looky here. Poor little old me has been kicked around. All poor little old me can stand.
Uh-huh, poor little old us.
I demand that Dimples marry me right away.
Dimples? Who's Dimples?
Cigars?
Well, really, Burns, this is too much.
Huh?
You take this girl right out and marry her.
Marry her?
Now, see here.
Get going, Dimples.
Okay.
Oh, what a mess. Does this sort of thing happen often?
Oh, constantly. Why, Burns is responsible for half the women on Mr. Anthony's program.
Yes. Really, dear, you must fire that awful chaser. He may lead me astray. Now, about the lead in your picture, Mr. Sherwood.
No, it's all settled, Bill. I found the perfect leading man.
Oh, good. Good.
And who is he, Mr. Sherwood?
Cigars?
There he stands. Burns the butler.
Huh? But I thought I'd get the lead in Love in a Cottage.
That's what I've been trying to tell you, Bill.
Huh?
We're not making Love in a Cottage. Instead, we're doing a picture called On the Prowl, the story of a wolf. And Burns is just the type.
Oh, no!
I'm going to be in pictures?
You'll be the new Van Johnson, the heartthrob of every American woman.
You mean he'll be making a movie star salary from now on?
Until he's too old to walk before a camera.
Oh, George, what a wonderful year we have ahead of us.